Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on Blue Zone Wellness on this beautiful, beautiful Florida afternoon, Sunday afternoon. I am a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor with a practice and a ministry located in Orlando, Florida. And I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective, as you know, as you listen to the show often. Now, many people are interested in natural and alternative therapies, and I hope to be able to educate you in that direction. We say the doctor of the future would give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and treatment, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He would teach them about the cause of all disease. So be sure to join me every Sunday afternoon right here on BlueZoneWellness.org from 4 to 5 p.m. And we will try and do our best to discuss and educate and analyze and some great insights into natural medicine and alternative therapies. I'd like to also remind you that we will be following our normal outline where we go first in the Week in Natural News segment where we talk about natural news articles or news related directly or indirectly to natural news and alternative medicine. Then we'll go into our Healing Food segment, which we talk about a healing food or a series or a number of healing foods. And we'll close out in our third and final segment with a herbal supplement, a healing herb or healing supplement. Again, be sure to follow me if you'd like to do so on Twitter, twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can friend request me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/NatureDoc. Again, that's facebook.com/NatureDoc. Again, I'd like to welcome you again to the show this afternoon. We have a very, very interesting and insightful show for you today. We are going to be talking about some very, very important topics. And from last week, quite a few listeners like to and welcome all my listeners from around the world, especially my friends there in Costa Rica and other places in Canada and some of the other places, and of course right here in the United States. I also like to welcome those who will be listening on Sky Angels Radio. We start broadcasting there for Blue Zone Wellness. Again, what we're going to do, before we get started, I'd like to remind you again that you can visit BlueZoneWellness.org and read a lot of information there, natural health information, as well as a simple natural health secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. There's loads and loads of articles there that I've written and other articles that are there, natural health articles. There's lots and lots of information there that you would do yourself well to actually read and educate yourself, because you yourself can actually be your best doctor by being educated and knowing what steps to take whenever you are having health issues or health problems. Now, also, if you're visiting us here at Blog Radio, you can go over to the chat room. I'm also over in there. Or you can listen, you may be listening at blogtalkradio.com, or you may be listening at bluezonewellness.org, or you may be listening at phase3ministries.com. So just be sure to go over there, and we're going to get started after this brief message. We'll be right back to get started with the show.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thanks again for listening. We're broadcasting live right outside of Orlando, Florida. We are going to go ahead and get started. Natural News Review, and this article is pulled from naturalnews.com. So, if you're a new listener, what we do in the first segment is we take articles that we pull from the week throughout the week, and we discuss and analyze them, natural health articles specifically in general. Sometimes we talk about some news that have come out that may not deal directly with natural news articles, but with something that's going on in the health world or the medical world as a whole. But this week we're going to start off with an article that was entitled 6 Signs You Might Have Gluten Sensitivity and Not Know It. 6 Signs That You Might Have Gluten Sensitivity and Not Know It. Now, this is really a big issue. Many, many people suffer from symptoms of gluten intolerance, and they don't even realize it. They have no idea. They know that there's something wrong. They have these issues, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor really can't give them a good valid answer what's going on. And if you go to the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog, I have a very good article on there dealing with gluten sensitivity. But this article here is entitled 6 Signs You Might Have Gluten Sensitivity and Not Know It. The author, P.F. Lewis, starts off by saying recognition of gluten sensitivity and the consequences of celiac disease, if that sensitivity is ignored, is not so easy to determine early. He says that medical tests fail often enough, turning up negative, while people who are gluten intolerant continue to suffer a plethora of symptoms. Those people, he goes on to say, are often told it's all in their heads after testing shows up negative, but traditional gluten intolerance, he says, blood testing looks for only 1 of 6 polypeptides in wheat gliadin. And so he goes on to talk about there are 5 others outside of the one that's typically tested for, and I'm not going to get into the technicality of pointing out these other 5, but suffice it to say that he goes on to say that any one of a combination of these 5 can actually cause anyone to have reactions to wheat. And he says that symptoms alone can be attributed to several other issues. Even gluten intolerant or celiac disease sufferers would manifest a variety of different symptoms, and he goes on to point out that it's rather complex. And then he goes on to talk about the 6 symptoms of gluten intolerance. Sometimes symptoms appear right after meals, but they don't last long. In other cases, the symptoms can last for weeks or even chronically, which then often leads to a diagnosis of an autoimmune disease instead of gluten intolerance. And, you know, an autoimmune disease is basically when the immune system becomes confused and it turns on itself. You have diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, etc. And many cases, some of the symptoms of gluten intolerance actually mimic some of these diseases, and it would be a shame actually to be diagnosed with some autoimmune disease and be put on toxic drugs only to find out that your issues were really gluten intolerance. Now, the article goes on to point out, number one of the six, that obviously there are gastrointestinal, stomach, and digestive problems if you are gluten intolerant. And these can include gas, they can include bloating, queasiness, abdominal cramping, constipation, diarrhea, or an alternating combination of both, which is IBS or irritable bowel syndrome. I see quite a few people in my practice who come in with issues dealing with their gastrointestinal tract, with digestive problems. And it's actually quite frequent. And so one of the first symptoms of gluten intolerance or gastrointestinal issues. So it's very important if you're having gastrointestinal issues. It goes back to, as we say on here, on quite a frequent basis, what are we eating? And many times what we're putting into our bellies and into our stomachs, into our gastrointestinal tracts, in most cases actually, when there's a problem, we must first always look there. And when we look there, we find that many, many problems have their origin right there in our colon. And so the next symptom that's pointed out in this particular article is that sufferers from gluten intolerance will often suffer from headaches and or migraines. Headaches and or migraines. Thirdly, fibromyalgia is one of the things they suffer from, which is not really a disease, as he points out in this article, but it's rather a syndrome. And getting a medical diagnosis is really the doctor saying we really are not sure what's wrong, but we're going to call it fibromyalgia. And he goes on to say in this article, you don't need to be told you have muscular and connecting tissues, aches and pains. That's what fibromyalgia means. Fibro means connective tissue, myo muscle, algae pain. Thus fibromyalgia. Fourth, emotional issues involving chronic irritability and sudden irrational mood shifts. And I've talked on here before about the close connection that exists between the mind and the gastrointestinal tract. And we've talked scientifically how that plays a very large part in our overall health. And so now we're beginning also to find out that even abnormalities like gluten intolerance can affect the mind. As we see here, one of the symptoms of gluten intolerance is emotional issues involving chronic irritability and sudden irrational mood shifts. Again, we've talked about that mind-body connection, and you can see it here with gluten intolerance. Number five, neurological issues including dizziness, difficulty balancing, and peripheral neuropathy affecting nerves outside of your central nervous system and resulting in pain, weakness, tingling, or numbness in the extremities. Again, you know, so there are some of these things mimic other diseases, but many times you may be diagnosed with some more serious disease when in all actuality the problem may simply be that you're gluten intolerant. So it's very, very important to take that into consideration. Next is fatigue. Chronic fatigue or fatigue after almost every meal. And chronic fatigue syndrome, says the author in this article, is like fibromyalgia, which is a syndrome and not a disease. And if you're diagnosed with it, basically your doctor can't locate the cause of your fatigue, so they call it chronic fatigue syndrome. And so when you sit down and you look at this, you have to look at, okay, what are all of my symptoms? The author in the article says, first, list every single symptom that nags you, whether sporadic or chronic. Don't make assumptions like my back problems are from sitting too much. Just list them without trying to explain them away. And then he goes on to say, then go on a gluten-free diet for 60 days. If you feel you can't, that may already be an indication you're addicted to gluten. And he goes on to say that gluten-free diet would include wheat, rye, barley, spelt, kamut, oats, and tricolate, which are grains with gluten. And he goes on to talk about how quinoa, buckwheat, and sorghum grains are gluten-free, as well as is rice. And so, I've heard many people talk about the benefits they've gained from going on a gluten-free diet if they were gluten intolerant. So again, those are the six symptoms that you may be having and may think it's some other disease, or even your doctor may think it's some other abnormality, when in reality you may be gluten intolerant, which goes back to your diet. And once you stay off of gluten for that amount of time, then you can begin to determine if in fact that is the issue. And then there are other steps that can be taken to help correct the underlying problem. This, however, this show, or this broadcast, is not designed to deal specifically with some of the other correcting those issues, but right now just to define, to spell out if the issue is there, if you go on a gluten-free diet, and if in fact it is there, how you can begin to take steps to recognize it, and then to identify it, and then later on to make changes. We'll move on to the next article, which is it's similar, but it's entitled, "Is Your Diet Causing You Depression?" Again, we've talked about the connection between our gastrointestinal tract, what we put in our mouths, and how it affects our minds. And this particular article starts off by saying the old expression, "You are what you eat," may go a long way towards explaining what research increasingly says is a causal link between diet and depression. The good news for depression sufferers, however, is that because diet may be affecting your mood, your condition is very treatable. Now, we've talked about this again, that we've talked about how children in schools who eat a healthier diet, they score significantly higher on tests, they do significantly better in schools. We've talked about how elderly people who eat a better diet, they have less incidences of Alzheimer's and dementia and some of these other issues. So again, there's a very, very close connection. Even those who are middle age at different levels experience better mental clarity, better overall mental health, who eat a healthier diet, also combined with lifestyle changes such as exercise and getting adequate amounts of sleep, etc. Those laws of health that we talk about here so often, being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control. And so it's very important to remember that though simple in theory, they're very powerful in application. So this article goes on, "Is Your Diet Causing Your Depression?" to say, a recent meta-analysis of 11 longitudinal studies involving unipolar depression and or symptoms of depression in adults between the ages of 18 and 97 years old found a distinctive link between the said depression and their diet. Follow-up for these studies ranged from 2 to 13 years, according to Diet and the Risk of Unipolar Depression in Adults, Systematic Review of Cohort Studies. So here was a study that took into account those ranging from the ages between 18 and 97, and it ranged for a period from 2 to 13 years. And they found, quote, according to the article, that researchers found an inverse association between depression risk and folate, omega-3 fatty acids, monounsaturated fatty acids, olive oil, fish, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and legumes. Research results indicate that diet and nutrition may influence depression risk, says an abstract of the findings by a team of researchers from Oxford University in Great Britain. So again, we're seeing how the science is basically backing up what we talk about here on Blue Zone Wellness, how what we can put into our mouths actually can affect not only our bodies, but also affect our minds. Now, this particular study went on to say further, or this particular article, rather, went on to say further in discussing this study from Oxford University. Again, the article is your diet causing your depression? And just let me pause and say, in my practice, I see people, and the first thing that I deal with in an assessment is I want to know their mental state. I want to know their diet. I want to know, get an idea of what they're putting into their mouths, because I realize that what they're putting into their mouths can affect their minds, and their minds can affect their overall health. Not only their mental health, but also their physical health. And so, getting back to this article, he said that the meta-analysis confirmed findings from earlier unrelated studies in which researchers from the United States essentially found a similar link between nutrition and depression through traditional clinical practice. But they chose to treat it chemically. So this study is not new. This is something that researchers have been finding all along, that there is, in fact, a very close connection, a significant connection between what we put into our mouth and our mental capacities. And it goes on to say The article goes on to say, quote, when researchers came up with the term brain chemical imbalance to explain depression, the next step should have been to supply the brain with nutrients. However, chemicals were prescribed instead. And this is a quote from Carolyn Dean, medical doctor and an author of medical director of Nutritional Magnesium. And she told Everyday Health in an article. The website also noted that earlier studies have shown that a diet rich in what medical professionals describe as whole foods also lowers the risk of depression, while diets that consist primarily of processed foods may actually work to increase the incidence of depression. So if you're eating large amounts of processed foods and you're also taking drugs for depression, you're actually working against yourself. The first thing to do is to cut back as far as possible the amount of processed food that you're consuming, increase the amount of whole foods that you're consuming. And if you have depression, and in some cases you may need to go on, if you've been on medication for depression for years, in some cases you may need to go on search supplements with 5-HTP and GABA and some of these other ones to help increase these levels of nutrients in your brain so that you can easier deal with depression, and also you have to correct your diet. So you may want to stay on those supplements for a little while to increase the amounts of these nutrients in the brain and the body as a whole. And I'll also eliminate these processed foods, because the studies show eating processed foods actually affect the brain chemistry in such a way that it increases the likelihood that you will be depressed. And when you look at some of the other studies as well, you will see that people who suffer long-term depression actually have increased rates of dementia and eventually Alzheimer's. So it starts off early in eating and depressive states, and then as you grow older, the total assault upon the brain and the mind actually leads into situations of Alzheimer's and dementia and some of these other mind-altering or brain-altering issues that we have to deal with. This particular article that we're talking about and discussing here on Blue Zone Wellness went on to say further that researchers talking about the benefit of whole foods upon the brain and the mind, that researchers say whole foods are natural and thus have all of their nutrients intact. They are also devoid of additives, unlike processed foods which contain many additives and have most often lost much of their nutritional value. And the author goes on to say further, it is this loss of vital nutrients scientists believe is likely the root cause of depression. And I would agree with that, is that if you're losing nutrients by eating a large amounts of processed foods, you're not really getting the nutrients that you need from them, but the body needs nutrients to process and break down and metabolize these foods. So you're using nutrients to break down and metabolize into these foods, to make these foods assimilable into the body, or at least get them out of the body, to break them down, etc. But you're not getting enough nutrients for the body to keep functioning at an optimal level. So over time, what will occur is that you continue to eat these processed foods, and you're not getting the amount of vitamins and nutrients that you need that are being used to break them down. And so what happens, sooner or later, you become deficient in the body of these nutrients, and the brain is going to really feel the brunt of this. And this is why we have people who have to end up going on mind-altering medications. And so it's very important to understand that what you're eating, your lifestyle as a whole, can and will actually affect your brain, your lifestyle, your capacity, your intellect, your capacity to function even. And if you've even seen any of the commercials that they put on television for the drugs, the antidepressant drugs, and you see the people who are in depressive states, some of them, they can't function at all. They roll up into a corner, and they just can't function. And this is what depression can do to you. But it's really, drugs and chemical drugs are not the answer. And so we have to look at what we're eating, the vitamins, the nutrients that we're lacking, and getting back to the basis. Now, the author in this article went on to point out that he says that, quote, we know, quoting one of the authors from the study that was conducted at Oxford University, he says, quote, we know that nutrients such as magnesium, essential fatty acids, and vitamin B6 and B12 help create neurotransmitters, and we are also learning that a deficiency in these nutrients can lead to chemical imbalance in the brain, one of the leading authors of this study, adding that neurotransmitters are chemicals in the brain that transmit signals between nerve cells, and depression can result with these neurotransmitter becoming deficient. So it really makes perfect sense, actually. If you have a deficiency of neurotransmitters in the brain, and of course you're going to have problems with your thoughts, you're going to have problems with all the necessary reactions that need to take place for you to feel the way that you need to feel, for you to behave and function the way that you need to function in the real world. The article went on to say further, a growing body of research has strengthened the belief among health practitioners and scientists alike that diet and depression are intricately linked. And he goes on to point out in this article that a recent study in the American Journal of Psychiatry contrasted a diet of whole food, fruits, vegetables, and grains with a diet high in processed meats, grains, and fast foods. And researchers found that study participants who ate the whole foods had a third less risk of developing depression. So that's a significant less risk of developing depression just by your diet alone. And we have not even talked about when you combine that with exercise and with getting adequate amounts of sleep and not being overcome with stress and anxiety. You can actually significantly reduce the likelihood that you will end up being depressed and being able to not function and having to go on some type of drug medication, which is toxic to your liver and the rest of your organs and your body. The article went on to point out further, a study published in the British Journal of Nutrition found that after 5 years, people who ate a diet rich in veggies, fruits versus those whose diets were loaded with sweetened desserts, processed meats, and grains had less risk of developing depression as well. Finally, it says yet another small study, this one was published in the British Journal of Nutrition, found that people with decreased fat intake had a 25% higher risk of depression than those who consume healthy sources of dietary fat, such as omega-3 fats. And the body needs to turn these into fatty acids. So you need fats, but you need good fats. And the body, the body needs to be able to take these and to convert them over, these fats, into fatty acids. And so you have omega-3 acids, omega-6 acids, etc. And so it's very, very, again, very important to understand that there is a very, very important role between what we put in our mouths and what we how we function in our everyday lives. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to move right on into our next article here in this first segment, the Weekend Natural News segment, where we discuss and analyze articles that have come out this week. This final article that we'll deal with in this first segment was entitled Mistletoe Extract is Actually More Effective Than Chemotherapy. Mistletoe Extract More Effective Than Chemotherapy. Fascinating article here as well. And in this particular article, the author points out, he starts the article off by saying, extracts from a certain species of mistletoe are more effective at treating colon cancer and have fewer side effects than chemotherapy, according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of Adelaide, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Australia. And he goes on, the article points out further, both case studies and experimental research have shown that mistletoe extracts can stimulate the immune system and directly destroy the cells of many different cancer types. He says further in this article, as a result, mistletoe extract is a widely used cancer treatment in Europe. It has not yet been adopted by regulatory agencies or medical professionals in the United States and Australia, however, purportedly due to the lack of scientific evidence. He says on then this article quotes that Professor Gordon Haworth, who supervised the study, or who carried out the research. He says, quote, mistletoe extract has been considered a viable alternative therapy overseas for many years, but it's important for us to understand the science behind it. So here we have a mistletoe extract has been studied and used in Europe, and according to those that are using it, it's effective, and according to the studies as well, it's just as effective, or more effective rather, than chemotherapy. But this is not something that we often hear about. That's mistletoe extract. The article goes on to say further that studies have shown that much of the initial uncertainty over the effectiveness of mistletoe extract stem from the fact that each variety of mistletoe has its own unique properties. Therefore, university student Zara Lotfahi performed a study to test the effectiveness of three different kinds of mistletoe extract. She exposed both healthy intestinal cells and colon cancer cells to each of the extracts as well as the chemotherapy. And what did she find in this study? She found that one of the extracts derived from the variety Fraxinae, which grows only on ash trees, proved not only more effective against the cancer cells than the chemotherapy drugs, but also less toxic to healthy intestinal cells. And then he quotes, he says, quote, "This is an important result because we know that chemotherapy is effective at killing healthy cells as well as cancer cells," the student says. "This can result in severe side effects for the patient, such as oral ulcers in the mouth as well as hair loss. Our laboratory studies have shown Fraxinae mistletoe extract by itself to be highly effective at reducing the viability of colon cancer cells." She went on to say that at certain concentrations, Fraxinae also increased the potency of chemotherapy against the cancer cells. "The findings are promising," the article went on to say, "for expanding the acceptance and effective use of mistletoe extract," Howard suggested, who was the head or the lead in the study. And so here we have a very, very interesting finding where mistletoe extract is actually being used, and now it's been used apparently for a while in Europe. Not only that, and now we have a university study behind it showing that it's actually very, very effective, even more effective than chemotherapy. Not only more effective than chemotherapy, but less damaging to healthy cells. Everyone knows, I won't say everyone knows, but it's quite common knowledge that chemotherapy not only destroys cancer cells, but it also destroys healthy cells. So you have to get the good with the bad. And when you really look at cancer treatment, the way that we do it now, the conventional medicine, is that in most cases it's the chemotherapy that kills the patient before the cancer does. It's just because of the sheer power and toxicity that it has on an already weakened immune system. And so the article goes on to say further that, quote, "Although mistletoe grown on the ash tree was the most effective of the three extracts tested, there is a possibility that mistletoe grown on other as yet untested trees or plants could be even more effective," is what Howard said, who was the head of this study. He says, quote, "This is just the first important step in what we hope will lead to further research and eventually clinical trials of mistletoe extract in Australia. This might mean that Fraxinae is a potential candidate for increased toxicity against cancer while also reducing potential side effects," Lotfahi agreed, who was actually the student who actually conducted some of the tests, or conducted the tests, actually. The article went on to say, "It's not just in laboratory studies that mistletoe extracts perform well. A large clinical trial in Germany found that cancer patients who took a certain mistletoe extract actually lived 40% longer than patients who did not take the extract, while another study found that patients taking mistletoe extract had a significantly higher quality of life. And further clinical studies also, there are actually further clinical studies being pursued in Germany and Austria," according to this article. So it's very interesting. Here we have an herb, mistletoe extract, that has been shown to be even more effective than chemotherapy. Not only even more effective than chemotherapy, but also very, very effective in not having the same type of side effects on the body, because it does not destroy the good cells, the healthy cells. And this is something that those who are suffering from cancer or from these other diseases, it improves the quality of life. And if you've ever seen anyone, have any loved ones, a family member that have suffered from the side effects of chemotherapy, if you're in the medical field, you know very well how devastating these side effects can be. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We have about roughly 30 minutes left. We're going to go to break for about a minute here, and we're going to come back and go into our healing food section. And we're going to stay on the cancer topic here a little more, but we're going to talk about some of the foods that you can eat every day to cut back your risk of cancer, because right now the risk of cancer is about 50%. That basically means that, generally speaking, every two people that you see, one of them is going to be diagnosed with cancer. So if you're listening, the likelihood that you are going to be diagnosed with cancer, especially if you're not really have a healthy lifestyle, is pretty high. And so we're going to talk about some of the foods that you can eat in our healing food section that can actually help your immune system and can actually help reduce the likelihood that you will ever be diagnosed with cancer. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening again on this beautiful Sunday evening, afternoon. I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I've been forgetting to do that in the past weeks. Again, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. Again, you can follow me at twitter.com/Blue Zone Wellness. You can friend request me at facebook.com/NatureDoc. That's again, facebook.com/NatureDoc. This is, in this segment, we go into our healing food segment. And as I said before we went to break, we're going to continue talking about cancer a little bit, but we're going to talk about some of the foods that you can eat to actually help reduce the likelihood that you will ever be diagnosed with cancer. And this is very important because science shows, as well as lifestyle, as well as practice, shows that your lifestyle plays a significant part, a significant role, rather, in whether or not you will be diagnosed with cancer or with hypertension or with diabetes or with lupus or with some other disease or abnormality. And so it's very, very important that we look at some of the foods that we eat. And as I said on here before, outside of your mental state in dealing with stress and anxiety, the second most significant factor in whether or not you would be diagnosed with a disease is typically your diet, the way that you eat, the food that you consume, etc. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and look at some of the things concerning some of the food that we can eat to actually help reduce the likelihood that we will ever be ever be diagnosed with cancer. One good book on this topic is a book by Dr. Joel Fuhrman, and it's called Super Immunity. And basically in this book, he draws on studies conducted from around the world to actually pinpoint the ties between diet and cancer. And his particular findings, many whole foods have specific medicinal properties which actually inhibit and fight cancer in a variety of ways. And the final result of this effort is a comprehensive set of guidelines that have been actually proven to enhance the immune system and improve your overall health, in addition to routing cancer or reducing the likelihood that you will ever be diagnosed with cancer. Now, it's very important that we understand when I talk on here about those eight laws of health, they can't be improved upon. But what we have to understand about them, that there is a scientific application of those laws of health. Again, trust in the Creator. That helps us deal with our stress levels and our anxiety. And then there's sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control, or what we call temperance. And each of those have subtopics where we could spend an entire show easily on each of those but still simply scratch the surface when we begin to look at it from a scientific viewpoint of how these simple laws, which are simple in theory but powerful in their application. For instance, Anna, let's talk about, you've heard us talk here on Blue Zone Wellness before about why the original diet is actually the best diet. The original diet, as we look at it in the book of Genesis, is what's known today as a vegan diet or a plant-based diet. It's actually the optimal diet. And in some of these tests, they found now that in all actuality, eating flesh actually increases the probability that you will be diagnosed with cancer. And in fact, animal foods present specific risks in relation to cancer because of the saturated fat in meat, as well as in dairy and eggs. It actually encourages higher levels of circulating sex hormones such as testosterone and estrogen. In turn, this contributes to cancers such as estrogen-dependent breast cancer. Animal foods also raise your levels of insulin, like growth factor, or IGF-1, which is linked to greater cancer risk as well. And if you didn't know, vegetarians actually enjoy a 40% reduced risk of cancer. So simply by becoming a vegetarian and becoming a vegan or plant-based, you can reduce your likelihood of developing cancer by at least 40%. At least 40%. Another thing that you can do to help is reduction of your sugar intake. Chronic high consumption of sugar, consistently eating high sugar foods, actually leads to chronically high insulin. And researchers actually also confirmed that most cancers mutate to make the best use of both insulin and IGF-1 for growth, and effectively using them as fuel. So basically, eating high foods high in sugar on a consistent basis, you're actually fueling cancer cells. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. Whole plant foods, however, actually contain high levels of what we call phytonutrients, antioxidants, as well as fiber, and all of these contribute to lower cancer risk. So fiber, which is not found in animal or processed food, actually dampens the levels of the circulating estrogen or testosterone, and actually lowers the risk of colon cancer and likely enhances your general immunity. So here we're saying these are just some basic things. Many of these things you may have heard, but these are ways that you can actually reduce the likelihood of being diagnosed with cancer. As I said early on, the likelihood that you would be diagnosed with cancer is at least 50%, one out of every two people. And so when we look at the research behind it, and when we get people, when I get people into the office who have cancer, third and fourth stage cancer, we have to look at, okay, the very first thing that I'm going to ask is two things. Number one, their mental state. Number two, their diet or their exercising. Because if we can't get them to alter their diet, they're not going to be healed. If we can't get them to alter their mental state, they're not going to be healed. If we can't get them to start exercising, to start drinking plenty of water, to start getting out into the sunshine, if we can't get them to start doing those basic things first and foremost, they're not going to be healed, and they're going to die. It's as simple as that. And yes, in many cases, you need to, in almost in all cases of late-stage cancer, you're going to have to add supplements. You're going to have to, because the body has become so depleted by that point, at least for a short amount of time or for however long it takes, the body is going to have to be given, in many cases, massive doses or higher dosage than the body would normally need when it's in a crisis state of cancer. But we're talking about not getting to that point. But even if a person gets to that point, you have to do the same things that you would do to prevent them from getting to that point in the first place, but you have to do them in a more intense fashion. And so, and I'll refer back to Dr. Furman's book, Super Immunity. He talks about also some of the anti-cancer foods. And he coined a firm, he coined a term called GOBS, G-O-M-B-B-S, which is basically an anti-cancer diet, and it stands for greens, onions, mushrooms, berries, beans, and seeds. And he talks about the anti-cancer foods, and he points out in his book Super Immunity that greens are actually the most nutrient-dense food in the world. The cruciferous vegetable family in particular, including broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and many others. And it's true. If you anyone that's involved in treating, or I won't even use the word treating before I realize that in many states you cannot legally, quote, treat cancer. But anyone that has been involved in giving nutritional advice, or even if they've been in a country where you can actually legally treat cancer using natural methods, then you know that broccoli, and there's been many, many studies as well that have shown that broccoli is very, very good at staving off cancer. Cauliflower, cabbage, and many others, they generate compounds called ITCs when blended, chopped, or chewed that have a plethora of anti-cancer actions. In fact, there was one study, a higher intake of cruciferous vegetables actually halved the total incidence of cancer, while in another, higher intake saw a 57% reduction in the occurrence of colon cancer because they're high in fiber. And so, you know, here we have these greens that our Creator has given us, and you've heard me talk about if you want good health, you need to eat as closely as possible in line with the colors of the rainbow. If you eat in line with the color of the rainbow, you're going to have better health. And what are the colors? We remember the color of the rainbow by the acronym Roy G. Biv: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. If your diet is high in those colors, eating in these foods in their most natural states, raw states, your ratio of cooked to raw food, your ratio of if you're healthy, of raw food should be at least 50-50. If you're not healthy, it needs to be even 70-30 or 80-20 if you're sick. And you need to get as many nutrients into your body as possible. The body does not crave food in and of itself. It craves nutrients. But our taste buds crave different foods, and it gives a signal that we want the food, but actually the body is signaling that it wants different nutrients. Other what we call alum vegetables, including onions, garlic, leeks, scallions, all these contain what they call organosulfur compounds that are actually release when you chew them, or when you chop, or when you crush them. And increasing consumption of these healthy vegetables also is proven to reduce the risk of prostate as well as gastric cancers. There's a flavonoid I've talked about on the show before called quercetin, which is abundant in onions, and it actually slows tumor growth and actually causes the death of colon cancer cells. So here we see again that the Creator has actually put into the foods the very nutrients that we need to prevent cancer, to prevent diabetes, to prevent lupus, and many of these other diseases which we're stricken with, and which is costing the nation and costing us billions and billions of dollars every year. Also, berries. Eating berries they're extraordinarily high in antioxidant. And even Dr. Furman in his book Super Immunity points out in his short list of cancer fighters, he points out berries. And he says, for the greatest health benefit, dip berries in something that you might like and to eat it. And the combination, he talks about, of antioxidants mixed in different kinds of berries, especially I would say juice them together for their antioxidant benefits. Combine a few berries and drink them and drink it as soon as possible. And if you do it, at least say if you were to juice every morning. Now, you didn't have to be a lot. But if you would take that into your regimen, I think you will see great results. Now, also, beans, peas, and lentils are also very nutrient-rich, and they are also high in protein and fiber. So eating legumes or beans at least two times a week actually reduces your colon cancer risk by 50%. And also, there are also some additional protective effects that have been shown in studies for your kidney, your stomach, your mouth, your larynx, and your as well as other pharynx cancers. Just by eating legumes twice a week, you can reduce your colon cancer risk by 50%. Again, because of the high fiber content, the fiber keeps things moving through your colon. If you have a lot of trash that's not moving through your colon, it's going to stay there. And it's going to become toxic, and it's going to give those cancer cells the ability to grow and proliferate. And we all develop cancer cells every day. It's just that the Creator has put in us an immune system, which is the Pentagon, a defense system, which is second to none. And as long as we keep that system up to par, we'll stay healthy. We reduce the chances of that we will ever develop cancer drastically. And so these are just some of the things, some of the foods that can be eaten to help reduce your cancer risk. I advocate a vegan diet, but a varied diet, because I've seen when we see people who have late stage cancer and some of these other diseases, we've seen the benefits. It has to be balanced. You just can't sit down and eat salad every day. It has to be balanced. It has to be, we would like to eat salad every day as part of your meal, but maybe eat salad as one of the meals, maybe four or five different vegetables, and then you eat maybe some rice or whatever. It has to vary fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains in no particular order, but it needs to be balanced. And you'd be surprised at how many different foods that you can consume and how many different varieties without having consuming the meat and the eggs and the cheese. And we've scratched the surface. We could do an entire show on looking at the scientific evidence why these foods are very, very dangerous, especially eaten over time. They definitely cause an acidic environment within the body. They help create an internal environment where cancer can grow and proliferate. To the extent that some people don't even realize until they go to the doctor and they find out they have 4th-stage cancer and they didn't know anything about it because of their overall lifestyle. Now, that we're going to move right from our healing food section right into our last section, which is the healing herb, healing supplement. And that's the section that we talk about, healing herb or healing supplement, that we can help with our overall health. And supplements, they play a role in your overall health, chiefly because one reason they play a role is that if you're not eating an organic food mainly, which most people are not, then you're probably going to need to take some type of a supplement to get the nutrients that you're going to need. And if you're sick or if you're deficient in something, you're going to need to take a supplement at least for a short amount of time to increase the levels of that nutrient or whatever in your body. Now, I'm going to pick up, as I said last week, where I left off. We were talking about an article from Marcola.com, and he was talking about especially fermented vegetables and fennel, which are more effective than calcium in preventing bone loss. And I stopped at talking about the levels of vitamin 2 and how the level of vitamin K2 is critical for your bone health, and especially when used in conjunction with vitamin D. And I'll go back and kind of pick up on where I was just to pick the listeners up on where we left off. As we talked about last week, as well as Dr. Marcola in his article, he was pointing out as well that it's very important to understand that whenever you increase vitamins, levels of vitamin D, it's also necessary in the event that you are low in vitamin K2 that you will also need to increase the amounts of the vitamin K2 as well. Now, we've talked about the amazing benefits of vitamin D3, and ideally, it's best to get it from the sunshine, by spending time outside in the sunshine. And many times, once you become deficient in vitamin D3, you may need to get a test, or you will need to get a test to determine whether or not you're deficient, if you are from time to time. And then, once you are deficient, it will be necessary for you for a short amount of time to maybe go on a D3 supplement to bring your D3 blood serum level of your D3 up to where it needs to be. And once it's brought up to where it needs to be, then you can go back to just getting your vitamin D from the sunshine, D3, which the studies are showing more and more consistently now is the optimal form of vitamin D. Now, as I mentioned last week, vitamin K2 is made by the bacteria that lines your gastrointestinal tract. And the biological role of vitamin K2 is actually to help move calcium into the proper areas in your body, such as your bone and your teeth. So, as we can see, vitamin K2 is very, very important. Again, it's made by the bacteria that's in your gastrointestinal tract, and its role is to move the calcium into the proper areas of your body, such as your bones as well as your teeth. It also plays a role in removing calcium from areas in your body where it shouldn't be, such as your arteries or in your soft tissues. So it's critical for keeping our bones strong, and it works in conjunction with a number of other nutrients, as I said last week, most important of which are vitamin D, calcium, and magnesium. So here we have a synergistic relationship between vitamin K2 as well as other vitamins and nutrients, but significantly a significant relationship between vitamin D, calcium, and magnesium. And Dr. Mercola points out that the optimal amounts of vitamin K2 are actually still under investigation, but it seems likely that about 180 to 200 micrograms of vitamin K2 should be enough to activate your body's K2-dependent proteins to shuffle the calcium where it needs to be and to remove it from the places where it shouldn't be. And as we said before, the vitamin D is actually a very critical nutrient for optimal health, and it is best obtained from the sun. And Dr. Mercola pointed out as well in his article on it that, however, he says that many are taking oral vitamin D, which can actually be problematic unless you're also getting sufficient amounts of vitamin K2. So here's the thing. If you are taking oral vitamin D3, and if you're not eating a particular way, especially that vegan diet that I was talking about, a balanced diet, where you're getting fresh greens, juicing greens, eating fresh fruits, eating fresh vegetables in copious amounts, and not eating large amounts of processed foods, and if you're getting exercise, getting fresh air, sunshine, etc., to where you don't even need a D3 supplement. But if you are taking a D3 supplement, then it may be necessary for you to also take vitamin K2. It's very crucial. Let me give you a quote here from Dr. Mercola. He says, "Vitamin D is a critical nutrient for optimal health and is best obtained from sun exposure or a safe tanning bed. However, many are taking oral vitamin D, which can actually be problematic unless you're also getting sufficient amounts of vitamin K2. In fact, this is a really crucial point that has not been emphasized enough in the past. If you opt for oral vitamin D, you need to also consume in your food or take supplemental vitamin K2. And then he goes on to explain. He says, because when you take vitamin D, your body creates more vitamin K2-dependent proteins, the proteins that help move the calcium around in your body. But you need vitamin K2 to activate those proteins. If they're not activated, the calcium in your body will not be properly distributed and can lead to weaker bones as well as hardened arteries. In short, he says, vitamin K2 ensures the calcium is deposited and removed from the appropriate areas. By taking vitamin D, he says, you're creating an increased demand for K2, and vitamin D and K2 work together to strengthen your bones and improve your heart health. Now, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're not going to be able to, again, finish this article. We will. It's not much left on the topic, so we'll be able to take about 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes next week to complete it. In our last segment, where we talk about healing herbs and healing supplements and the use of them in their body and how to recognize when you're deficient. Again, if you remember to join me next week, visit bluezonewellness.org. Visit the Simple Natural Health Seekers blog at faith3ministries.com/WordPress. You can read loads of articles. You can follow me on Twitter or Facebook and get lots of great natural health information. And remember that you can listen to this broadcast again if you didn't catch all of it or you logged in late. It'll be available here in the archive and probably maybe 20 minutes after the show is over. It'll be replay also on SkyAngelsRadio.com. So thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. And join me again next week, same time, same place, in the zone, the blue zone of health.